Our gospel lesson this morning comes once again from the Gospel of Luke, the 14th chapter. You'll see the first verse and then verses 7 through 14. I'm going to extend that reading on past verse 14, and I'm going to read all the way down to verse 24. So sit back and just envision this story unfolding in your mind's eye. Listen for something that's being spoken into your life and your heart at this particular point on your faith journey. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place. So when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then Jesus said to him, someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a piece of land, and I must go and see it. Please accept my regrets. Another said, I have bought the 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please accept my regrets. Another said, I have just been married, and therefore I cannot come. So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the slave said, sir, what you have ordered has been done, and there is still room. Then the master said to the slave, go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. Tomorrow is Labor Day. And that's it. Summer's over. The last hurrah is tomorrow. The end of the good times. Back to the grind. So, what are you going to do to celebrate? How are you going to celebrate this end of this season? Are you going to go to the pool? Possibly. Maybe you go to the lake. That's not too far. You may go to the ocean if you're feeling a little adventuresome. You know, maybe you'll take a walk. Maybe you'll play, you know, yard games or something. There are a lot of things you might do tomorrow to celebrate Labor Day. But I guarantee that while there are many things you might do, there is one thing you are definitely going to do. And that is?
Eat.
That's exactly right. I would suspect that wherever you plan to celebrate the holiday, that you are going to be centering that celebration around food. So let's think about the food. Burgers, dogs, ribs, potato salad, chips, salt, sweet tea. What else? What else? Oh. Get out. Get out. Veggie burger. There's no such thing. Okay. A lot of food's going to be consumed, folks, tomorrow. But, you know, it's really not about the food, even though you would think that. No. It's really about those with whom you're sharing the food. It's funny that that's what really comes together for us. It comes down to, you know, with whom do we wish to share food? That's what lies at the heart of every celebration, no matter when it is. The more significant the event, the more selective we are in choosing those table mates. You know, if it's Thanksgiving dinner, that will get a certain crowd. Christmas time, maybe another crowd, Easter, whatever it is. The more important, the more selective we are at choosing that. So, okay, think about this for a second. If you want to get to know someone and get to know them well and get to know them in a hurry, what is the best way to do that, go about that? Eat with them. That's exactly right. You eat with them because when you get right down to it, that's when everything comes shining through. Sure. The way we eat when we are with others says a lot about us. Now, sure, you may put on an act. You may be eating with somebody that you want to impress. And so you may be very careful not to use the dessert fork to start the salad with. You may say, oh, that won't look good. You really concentrate. Or maybe you locate your bread plate because you don't want to mix it up and you kind of watch how everybody's doing that so you don't mess that up. You know, you need to do everything. You may go the whole meal without belching, right? Or cursing. Well, maybe not Bill. But a lot of folks could do that. But sometimes you may do your best, but you're going to slip up at some point. Your true self is going to come shining through no matter how well you try to hide it. And I said the other story, you know, maybe involuntarily, you'll just put your hand over in your water glass and, you know, rinse your hands off or something. You know, that's a no-no, Richard. No. Or, you know, maybe you will, are you anybody having barbecue tomorrow? Okay, well, maybe you get a piece stuck right there. Anyway, you may do something that you really don't want to do, but you can't help yourself because that's who you are. When we eat, maybe it's not we are we, we're who we are while we're eating, right? Okay, once I read an article about that a corporate headhunter had written, and this person said that one way they narrowed a field of potential candidates for a high-profile job was to eat with them and watch them while they are eating. And I quote, "You can learn about a person's sensitivity to others, their ability to include other people, and their general graciousness by being with them at the table." You know, this may account for why so much business historically has been conducted around the table, or it may account for the reason that so many deep relationships begin with a meal. And I said earlier, I think maybe that explains why so many non-relationships can trace their origin back to a common meal. Because the first meal you eat with somebody may be the last one you want to eat with them. So, anyway. If you pay attention, even slight attention, as you read through the Gospels, you can't help but notice that so much of the life and ministry of Jesus revolves around food. It revolves around consuming food. Jesus talks about food. The focal point of some miracles, food. Food's prominent, right, throughout the ministry of Jesus. I mean, he's constantly eating with people that other people don't want to be around. He invites them to the table instead of excluding them. In fact, it's interesting, he tells us to go feed the hungry. And the only miracle story that occurs in all four Gospels is the feeding of the multitude. The only miracle that appears in all four Gospels. So that shows the significance of the time of eating, the sharing of the food. Now we can argue why this is the case, why food figures so prominently in the Gospels. But to me, the answer is very clear. Food and eating figure prominently because the kingdom of God is as simple and as complex as the process of eating the food. You know, we come in many shapes and sizes, people do, but we all share the common practice of eating. We eat, and no matter what culture you are, no matter when you existed in history, you gather around tables. Or you gather with others to share a meal. So when Jesus is talking about denarii or leprosy, you may be able to just say, I don't understand that. But when he talks about food, you can connect. But now, we may not know what it's like to be hungry, most of us really hungry, but still we can relate to when he talks about that, when he talks about food. And when he says, I am the bread of life, we all know that bread is the basic sustenance of life in many cultures. Or every culture, there's some sort of bread substance. I am the bread of life. And the wheels start churning. What does this mean? Or maybe you come to a table and the bread is lifted up and broken. This is my body given for you. The basics of life. It's amazing. Friends, food is common, but it's also sacred. Very sacred. Now, it varies from family to family, but there are rules and protocols for eating. Not just what you eat, but where you eat. I want to see a show of hands right now. When you grew up, was there ever a kid's table? Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was the youngest of four, and so I got to know the kid's table pretty well. And I said to the other services, I always looked to the other tables, thinking, I'm going to get there one day. But I never did. But anyway, it was a dream. It was a dream I had. Anyway, as Jesus watched the guest arrive at the dinner party in the story today, he observed this unwritten, this unspoken protocol that was being followed. Everyone in the place knew where the best seats were. They were reserved for the honored guest. But what's interesting, everybody in the place thought they were the honored guest. Well, Jesus is struck by this haughtiness and this presumption, and he confronts them with these words. He says, when you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor. And then as soon as he says that, he turns his attention to the host of the meal. It's not just those who are being invited. He also wants to address those who are doing the inviting. And, the banquet was a big deal. Jesus is there, right? That night, the host was thinking, I've arrived. I'm going to invite all the who's who, and I'm going to be famous. I'm going to run for mayor after this party. So anyway, Jesus responds to this self-serving behavior with a story. He says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. But in both cases, it was no use. No one there could get it. No one understood what Jesus is talking about. But no one ever gets the kingdom. No one ever understands what's going on. And in this case, and that's why I extended the reading a little bit, the very next verse, there's this guy over in the corner who's just talking loudly at the party. And we all know that, right? There's always a guy over in the corner talking loudly at a party. And he just yells out something. He says this. He lifts his glass. I can picture it. Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Okay? There's always somebody who says something totally off the wall that doesn't quite get it but wants to participate. Jesus is talking about a fundamental change in the way the world is to be perceived and judged, and this bonehead just doesn't get it. Right? Jesus is stunned. I can't believe I just heard that, I'm sure he's thinking. So he tells another story. He said, maybe you didn't get that. Let me tell you a story that you'll have to understand this. And that is the reading I read at the end. Let me read it to you, part of it again. Then Jesus said to him, someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike begin to make excuses. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the slave said, sir, what you have ordered has been done, and there is still room. Then the master said to the slave, go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner. It's kind of hard to get your mind around. All are invited. All are welcome. Except those who have excused themselves, those who had excused themselves earlier. You know? And with that, Jesus left it to their own imagination to try to figure it all out, to try to figure everything out. You see, meal protocol had been turned on its head, and thus the world had been turned on its head. Friends, it is the metaphor of all metaphors. Everyone is invited to the table. Every single person is invited to the table. Ironically, the only ones who are not invited are those who choose not to come. Huh, that's strange. The metaphor of the table is perfect here. Everyone is invited to sit in the presence of the sacred. Every single person. You know, everyone is invited to be grounded in affirmation. Everyone is invited to sit in the presence of grace. Except those who choose not to sit in the presence of grace. Huh. That's what Holy Communion is. It's an enacted metaphor. An enacted metaphor of grace. You know, we enact that metaphor here every Sunday, here at this service, the first Sunday of each month. And this morning we're gonna do it again. We're gonna come to the Lord's table. You know, not because we deserve prime seating. No, because we get prime seating. And that's the beauty of the image. It's all prime seating. We come to the table just as we are, flaws and all, in all our glory, in all our baseness. Remember, there's no pretension at meal. You come as you are. And at this table, the protocol of the world has been superseded. You know, here even the least among us have seats of honor. All we have to do is show up. Claim it. Claim our place at the table. To respond to the invitation to communion. Not communion like this, but communion like this. It's the Lord's table, not our table. And through a mystery, through a sacred moment, we begin to live into something bigger. Something that far exceeds our parochial vision of the world. And then gathers us into a community that in turn offers abundant life. Now Jesus would often say things like, when he had made a statement, he'd say, let those who understand and understand. You know, just figure it out. Maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe we need to come to this table and just figure it out. Let me read this to you again. Go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. Friends, it's lunchtime. It's lunchtime. The bell has rung. Thanks be to God. Amen.